Peace to all of you. So this is the second part of the sermon. So last week we talked about the first part. So last week we talked about Father, please protect them. So the second part of the prayer of Jesus for his disciples is Father, sanctify them. There's a very important concept here. One is regeneration, one is sanctification. So first, we must understand the difference between these two things. So regeneration is totally the work of God through the Holy Spirit. So enable us to hear and accept the gospel and then give us a new life, a new sensibilities. So after a person is regenerated, and it gives them the fruit to be sanctified. First, the seed of sanctification was planted upon the regeneration. So only after a person is regenerated, they can be sanctified. And this regeneration is happening in an instance. Many people may not know when they are, at which exact moment they were regenerated. But for some people, they are born again, their regeneration is very obvious. Just like how Paul suddenly saw the great light in Damascus. But there are people who are like people like Timothy, who was brought up in church, and suddenly one day, he suddenly started to follow God. And this happened very naturally. Most of us, we just, after we have heard the gospel many times, we have heard many testimonies, then one day, amazingly, I just want to come to church. I just want to pray and call out to the Lord. Why is there such a transformation in my heart? So this is because God has made me born again. So it happened in instance, sanctification. So after the person is, this is a process, a journey a person takes after he is born again. It takes place over many years for the rest of a believer's life. It's not an external thing. But after God, grace is working in our hearts. When the grace of God is working in us, so such that there is a constant internal new world. So what is sanctification? Do I just rely on my own strength? Before I was not in the church, now I'm in the church. So I'm in a Christian church. I created that 100 rules for me, and then and so that I become more like a Christian. This is the old written code. So this is based on human effort. This is something very external. You can obey all these rules externally, but it doesn't mean your heart is being renewed. After a person is born again by the word of God, what comes into his heart is, so there is the work of the Holy Spirit. So the God enables them to continue to hear the word of God. So day after day, year after year, in this process, suddenly they become more and more like Christ. And then they break out of very sinful habits. In this process, and then they die to self, and then they live in God's righteousness. This is the process of sanctification. And you will see that this transformation is really internal. And then, and you are pursuing what God is pursuing God's desires, God's plans. Last time I was, some people will say, last time I was forced to come to church by my family, but now I look forward to, you know, meeting other brothers and sisters. I look forward to hearing God's word. So where does this come from? Because you continue to hear the word of God, and through the word of God, the Holy Spirit is continually convicting you. And so grace upon grace, faith upon faith, and then glory upon glory. This is the work of God in our hearts. When I talk about this, in this sanctification, so there are two things you need to be careful in areas of sanctification. So one is called activism. So Jesus prayed for the disciples, sanctify them. So with this, after they have accepted Christ, they rely on themselves. They want to do this. They want to do something for the Lord. And then they beat their own body, but you realize they are not relying on grace. They use their own efforts, use their own zealous, they use their own zeal. But after a while they become easily accused and they accuse others. The other one is passivism. So God wants to sanctify us. So God will give us sanctification. So I'm just relaxed. I'm just waiting for God to sanctify me. After I understood the word of God, after that, just waiting on. Many people like to wait for this. We just abide in Christ. Just enjoy His grace. Do you really know God's word? If you truly understand God's word in the sanctification, after you have heard and understood the word, you'll be cut to the heart. You will have struggles. You live. There are two laws fighting in you. You need to seek grace, to rely on God to help you in all this, and then you test and confirm God's will. This is the opposite of passivism. God, the Bible never asks you to be very comfortable. After you've understood this, you will continue to have the conviction of the Holy Spirit, because He is working in your heart so that you continue to pursue God, continue to pray, continue to learn how to love the people around you, how to manage your finances. So this sanctification, this work of sanctification, so sometimes they feel like, why is it so slow? Why I've accepted the Lord, but my temper is like that? I have heard so many sermons. I have improved my temper a bit when I serve. And then it may be slow, but the sanctification is real. Why? Because after you have heard and understood, and when you respond to it, and this is something that happens to you, a plant must have a root. Then this growth, so it doesn't work if you just make a person high for a while. So this is something that it must have. It's not a wild word godliness, but it doesn't have the real power of godliness. So in this point, I need to tell you. So after you have So here is monogenistic. So regeneration is monogenistic. We have no choice. Sanctification is synergistic. It's something that we work together with God. So continue to hear God's word, and then how do you respond to Him, rely on Him, and obey Him? This responding work, in sanctification, do not enter into passivism. Many words in the Bible must be fear with fear and trembling. Work out your salvation. This is the words for those who are born again. After you have known God, and my sin is always before me, the world is always surrounding me with temptation. So you must live in fear and trembling so that you can work out your... It's not to... So live out the life that is safe. It's not to earn your salvation. First Peter also talked about put to death the sins of your body. It's a warning, put to death. All this fear and trembling. These are all verbs. It's an action. It's our responsibility. So God is always asking us to follow Him. More and more they understood God's will. I've already followed the Lord for 20 years. When do I stop? Will I be sanctified to a point? I have no more sin. I won't sin again. Is that such a person? Is that such a good thing? No more sinful desires. It's not possible. Apostle Paul also said that I cannot do what I want to do. Why is this sinful nature, no matter how sanctified you are, there will be some sinful nature? Because so it's a process of God suppressing our sin, but it doesn't destroy. Our sins are progressively being restrained. It's not the sin doesn't get destroyed. In this process, as God guides you, you follow Him. And when you tear it down, and then you... The more and more your sin is being restrained. Last time you were being tempted, now you're not tempted anymore. Sometimes you were... Some things you desire, now you don't desire anymore. So sometimes things that trigger you, now it doesn't trigger you. It's being restrained. When your sins be destroyed, when your physical body die, your sin, then that's where your sins will be destroyed. Your physical body is destroyed. So they may think that you must flee from the sinful desires of youth. You still need to flee from them. You don't just believe that you are sanctified to a certain level, then you may think that you can go to the internet Look at, you thought you are sanctified, you think you are certainly, but all your desires come. You cannot be proud. Sanctification is something you do after the day you see the Lord. In this process, and the new self and the old self are in battle every day. The tension at the beginning is like one bucket of water. When you draw water from self, when you want to pull this bucket of water up, it's very tough. You realize, where's the tough? If the bucket is, when you want to pull out when it's filled with water, when you are being released from bondages from the water, then it is the toughest when the bucket is filled with water. When you are really separated from the water, why does God want to give me all these things? Not let me have. Why God keep put me through this? You know, all these struggles. Why not just prevent me from all these temptations? Well, I give you some few reasons. If there's no such trials and hardship, such tension, such struggle, would you rely on God's grace? When you say you rely on grace, is if you have no enemies, would you rely on grace? Those people who want to rely on grace and your fear and trembling, that's where the battle comes in. So what I'm saying is, so when you are aligned with God, so the word, the more you are clear with God's word, the more you are cut to the heart, the more you rely on God's grace. Number one, if there's not such struggle, such battle, would you want to go back to heaven? Here is also not bad. Everything is comfortable here. For believers, when the Lord comes, because we really want to be liberated from all these sins. So when you desire to go back to your eternal home, so this is for people who have a lot of battles on earth. Why? Who can have? It has to do with our crowns. If one to receive crowns, only those who have fought in the battles will receive the badge. When we, angels will not have crowns. God did not say that angels have. They have not battles with sin, but so the crown of righteousness will be given to us. God has even thought of this. All the things that He has allowed us to do, you give us greater glory, will bring about greater glory. This is, you must understand this very clearly. So let's look at the second part of the God's prayer, Jesus' prayer for. So verse 13, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Here, very important, the joy of the Lord. So the Lord wants this joy to be filled in, this joy to fill the hearts of the disciples. I'll objectively looking at the Lord. When we read Isaiah, he was despised. He suffered, and he is always full of sorrows. And even when he's praying this, he's preparing himself to go to the cross, but he is full of joy. And the joy, and it surpasses all the joy of people in the world. Why does the Lord Jesus have such joy? Because of his relationship with the Father. It has no. He is totally as a son, as a role of a son, and obey the Father. In all things, he obeyed the Father. A joy that comes from the full obedience to the Father is in his heart. And he continues to be in communion with the Father. Everything I do is not what I do, but what the Father does. I do because the Father asked me to do. This joy, where is this joy? Joy comes from the obedience. Why do you think we are not joyful? Is it my work is not smooth? My children? It's not all these things that is not depriving us of joy. In all these things, I cannot put down my own sinful desires. My own will is too strong. God leads me this way, but I want to do it this way. There's a lot of hidden sin. The verse, if we cherish our own sin, God will not hear our prayers. You want to pursue your own dreams when you. This is something you know subconsciously. Very naturally, you cannot have joy. No matter what you do, you cannot have joy because there's an accusation in your heart. So if you give something to the dog, something to eat, they are very happy. But because you have a soul, your soul answers to the Lord. So how do you have joy? Why is it you can't have joy? You need to know. You need to understand this very carefully. Where does the joy of the Lord come from? Sanctification brings us to a life that is in submission to the Lord. This is what truly gives us joy. So the Lord's prayer is that this joy can fill the hearts of the disciples. So they have the same attitude and mind as the Lord. Such that they have the same heart and the same attitude, although there will be troubles and trials in the world. But in all this, they can be like me, and how they can look to the Father and obey the Father. Although they will be suffering, but in these days, they have peace. The kings of the world will always want to threaten the joy of the believers. So the next verse will tell us what is threatening our I have given them your word, and the word has hated them, because for they are not of the world anymore than I am of the world. I have given them God's word, the Father's word. God has given him the Father's. I have also given you the Father's word. The whole counsel of God's word. It's just not a principle. It's not just knowing a principle. All the full counsel. So a person may hear the word, but may not receive the teaching of the word, the counsel of the word. Some people receive the counsel, the life of the word from here. So everything he sees is different. The way he sees the world is different. The way they see eternity is different. The way they see themselves is different. A lot of the people are studying the Bible in the church, and they are sent to the seminary. But their direction, why do they have family? They are all the purpose of their life is to the purpose of their life is for. Even after you have gone to seminary, some people after going to seminary, they look like they want to serve. We thought that is some people with marital problems, some people, does he do? Look for positive psychology, look for counseling, use program to address all this. They have not understood the word of God. They have heard, but the things he does is of the earth. The life of the word has not come upon him. A person who does not be not, and the word is enemies. It's not related to which denomination. It's whether a person has the word, the full counsel of God's word. When a person has the full counsel of God's word in their heart, when they see everything is different, and it's different, the view is different from the rest of the world, and because of that, the world will hate him, because they do not belong to the world. Because of what they have done, from here they know that here, when we hear the word, when we go out, when your charitable deeds is the same as others, what you do is to obey the Lord. You want to bring a person to save someone from the prince of the air. You can for a person's soul to be you need to give witness to the person so that he knows the state of his soul. Then he can receive the work of his Holy Spirit. All the problems in the world, all these things done in many churches are the same as what the world is doing. The modern churches they have not separated. There's no distinction between the world and the church. I say this, I accuse this, we Christians living in the world, we are like in enemy camps. There are a lot of captives. They are being captives. They are captives of sex, money, women, fame. All these are, how do you save them? Can you use their own ways to use the enemy's way to save them? Verse 15. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. To protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. So now we try to understand what is the world. When we talk about the world, some people think it's a geographical location. There's a place in the world. It's not Mars, it's Earth. When the Bible talks about the world, it's about a fallen sphere of influence on this earth. The way it's being, the organization, the culture, it's not centered on God. It's human centric. To exalt everything of human and they put it at the same level as God. This is just one of the religion. So this is basically, so when people respect Christianity, respect Jesus, this is a worldly concept. They can respect you, but they will not repent of their sin. This is the world. Okay, Christians are kind. We need to respect each other. Yes, we can respect all kinds of people, homosexuals, those who are over. We can respect all of them. Don't talk about sin. God loves sinners but hate the sin. I hear many pastors saying this. Have you asked why God put sinners into hell? We don't say things that is trying to attract people unless you repent. You and the sin will go into hell unless you repent. This is the gospel. It's not using the nice words of human to make things more acceptable. So when we hear human words, this is human words trying to appeal to the itching ears of human ears so that their hearts are soothed. So there's no struggles. So the most they can give you, they'll just feel Jesus is good. Just have a good impression of Jesus. Did Peter share this in the Pentecost? Who nailed Jesus on the cross? All of you. That's what Peter said. All your sins has nailed him to the cross. What should I do? You need to repent. This is Peter's message. It's so clear. When you don't... So if you don't preach that... So you attract all the wrong people if you don't preach the real gospel. The world has infiltrated the world. They infiltrated the church. So you talk about, but in this life, how do you live out with fear and trembling? The world gives you a lot of messages. This is how Satan masquerades as the angel of light. The world is not a place, it's a fallen. So the Bible keeps saying, do not love the world, do not conform to the pattern of the world. Why is that so? Because you are not of the world. But the Lord prays again. It's not for them to leave, not to be taken out of the world. Why? Because you have a mission in the world. So you need to remain in this dark world so that you can be the light, you can shine for Lord. The one more moment I live on this earth, it's not for me to enjoy, but I have a very important mission, an important battle to fight. It's not really enjoying God's grace, but really rely on God's grace, so that you are in the enemy camp, you are saving all the other prisoners. So that's why, not to take them out of the world. We will think about one more. Protect them from the evil one. There are two ways they will attack the Christians, the believers. The first is to persecute. So you'll be persecuted. Don't be too involved. God wants your Isaac, wants your whole life, because He has given you His whole life. He's put it on the cross. When you believe, you need to die and be resurrected with the Lord. Once you have gotten this, so all the nominal Christians, the world will use the nominal Christians to persecute you. If you want to take your faith seriously, you must be prepared. Oh my, you are suffering for righteousness. It's the seduction. One is persecution, one is seduction. The world has a lot of seduction. Don't be so narrow-minded. There's a lot of other things that is very fun in the world. Like, why is you must share the gospel. Let me tell you how. Just talk about God's love and some innovative program, people will come. You want to, so even if you want to share the gospel, they use the world, they use the worst method. You want to. So in the end, they quarrel. So this is so worst method. Actually, so it becomes a ministry where people compare with each other. It's very competitive. The world use all kinds of methods to infiltrate the church. We are very clear in this. So that how to use all these things to seduce us. So only after we know all this, then we can. Every time the sermon you preach often make Jesus never asks us to leave the world. We are not of the world. We are in the world. We are in the world. We are living like the world. So you are using all this principle practically. You are not of the world. Not of the world. But in the world, you are supposed to save people. What methods are you using? You want to live in. You rely on. So sometimes you rely on your own feelings. You.
Not of the world, but in the world.
Not of the world, in the world. What do you do? God will surely give you a method. God's words, that God's truth. The conviction, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And through the truth, it's the spirit of truth. You realize if you don't use the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you find that all your ways will be similar to the world. And when you do this, when you serve in church, you'll quarrel, you'll be hurt. Why? Because you are not being guided by the Holy Spirit, but you are by your feelings. I've thought of all these things. I've heard many pastors' sermons, conservative, charismatic. I realize they have ideal and they try to interpret the Bible. Not for them to, but protect them from the evil one. What's the next line? Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Just like I'm not of the world. So only those people not of the world can be sanctified by the truth. First of all, you must know that your word is truth. So I say this again. Sanctification is not a cultivation and it's not a cultivating. When we talk about sanctification, first of all, it has a concept of a separation and consecration. Sanctification. It's about set apart. It's about set apart, being different. So that it's different. It is being used by the Lord. Becoming different to be used by the Lord. As someone who is being sanctified by the truth, the more he understood the truth, the more he does is different from the world. You also do good. Yes, that. Christians Christians does not start with charity, but starts with obedience, submission to God. The object is, it looks like a charitable deed, but they are not driven by charitable deed. When I give a class, when I care for the brother, sister, because I'm doing it in the name of the Father, when I give a glass of water to a little one, so I'm not trying to be a good person, not a friendly person. Other people, the monks are also very kind. When we sanctify, what must you first do? You must be cleansed by the truth. Without the, how do you? So you do as your please, or out of your own kindness. All this is not sanctification. If you, no matter how you cultivate or train yourself, but you must have the truth. The truth will make you open your eyes, and then you know what to do. And then from there, then you have your, that's where you beat your own body and then train your own body. I'm not saying there's no need to train, but training is necessary. But you must, but the truth must help you to enlighten so that your spiritual eyes are open. So from the truth, you understand all things. You realize it's very difficult to obey. It's not through your own strength, but ask for grace, ask for strength. Rely on grace to obey the Lord. This is a process of sanctification. It's always about the truth. Use the truth to help them to be sanctified. Every time you understood this, it's not just feeling good after listening to this, but you continue to be, I've worked out your salvation with fear and trembling. After, some people tell me, after I went home, the person beside me start nagging, how do I love and to be endure? How do we rely on the Lord in their weakness and to see God's grace? Then I know. After you, so you can hear this week you fail, it's okay. When you do this, all the truth that you heard will prick you in your conscience. Sometimes we fail, so then you ask for God's mercy, and then you rely on the Lord. You cannot be separated from God's truth. We don't need to feel accused. We are indeed sinners and we are indeed weak. When we encounter the problem, but because we know the truth, so when you gratify your flesh, God will not be quiet. So we must have this full understanding of sanctification. It's a self-deceit. Because some people, after they believe, they are like spiritual babies after 20 years. Because they are always seeking for the word that they want to hear. After church, they got hurt in one church, they go to the next one. This is the tragedy of this. Because the it's all human emotions, and then it's all about focusing on human emotions, human or human preference, all this, this. When we talk about sanctification, we cannot be always be reprimanded. Sanctify them. Your word is truth. What's the next line? As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. The feeling is different now. Peter is going to deny him soon. So God's, the Lord's prayer is very far-sighted. They know the life is real. This workmanship is truly from God. This person, Peter, is indeed very weak, but he is blessed. They are all blessed. They can be sanctified by God's truth, God's word. They will be the ones saving the world. How I am sent to the world? These people are being sent to the world. Do not to be when you are being challenged, that do not think that God is not pleased with you, because God is always refining you and sanctifying you so that you can be used for the Lord. A person who is not sanctified, he cannot be. Once he step out, he needs to, so that he can have mercy. And they know what to say to weak people, those people with sin. There's a direction for us to sanctify us, so that to send us. Such a beautiful picture. If I'm not sanctified, how can I preach this message? Do I just grow this? You loving God is not natural. Not loving the Lord is natural. Living for ourselves is very natural. If you do this, if you don't pray for 2 days, you'll be like the non-believers. So one day, although you know you are weak, when some temper, but because when you want to save people, but you share your testimony. So the last part, for them I sanctify myself so that they too may be truly sanctified. Does that mean the Lord is not sanctified enough, that he needs to be? Here, what he's saying is, he will be the offering, the sacrifice to be atoned for our sins. He'll be set apart. He has to die on the cross. He has to go to the cross. And he becomes the great high priest that will atone for the sins of the world, of the people of the world. Consecrated this. This is the Lord's prayer for us. So I sanctify myself that they may too be truly sanctified. The good people, the religious people of the world, the saints are saints of the world are different. If someone tells you you are a very nice person, you are a very kind like the Buddhist neighbor. I can love. It's not that. It's someone that lives before the Lord, and then the person who is faithful to the truth of God in all he does. He may have his weaknesses, but at the same time, it reveals that there's a great God. In the parents, when we teach the kids, it's not perfect. Sometimes we teach wrongly. You can say, you can apologize to your children. Then he knows that you know you love me, but you're not perfect, but you obey the Lord. Then he will also fear the Lord. So sometimes there's a quarrel, but the husband will give in because you are the head, and you just and he knows that. Just like how Jesus loved the church, it's not about pride. He will feel this. It's just not a good husband. You don't just be a good husband, but you are a God-fearing husband who loves me. When you do this, the other half will it's not using method. It's not about the spiritual loss. It's having your own life testimony. It all comes from sanctification. When you understand, you just becoming a good person. There's no definition of good. Your direction will be wrong. God wants to give us His joy. He wants to send you. But when they leave, pray that you will sanctify them. And so that there will be this whole message. This is a big concept here. After you have saved me, you continue to bless me, refine me, sanctify me, to use me. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks you have and your teachings. You have enlightened us. We are limited by what we can say, but we ask that for the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts so that we continue to understand and be enlightened, and we know that we are indeed weak. And when we live in our body, when we hear about this sanctification message, when we are encountering with the things of the world, we will start to stir up our flesh. Our old self will be activated. We know that because you love me, and you continue to refine us and sanctify us in such that help us not to anyone to be loose heart. And Lord, those that you love, you will discipline. And those you love, you will really sanctify. So we give you thanks, and we thank you for the prayer for us. And today, until all the saints will meet you one day, this is in effect. We anticipate your work in our hearts. We give thanks, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.